It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Verse 24.
And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee.
Now he is saying to the audience, you went to the desert place to see. What did you go to see? He is trying to say, you went to see the John the Baptist. And why you went to see John the Baptist? He was not the ordinary prophet. He was a great prophet. And that's what you went to see. And he says, that man is sent by God. Just go to the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1, and read also Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts.
Okay, Isaiah 40, verse 3.
The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Now, Jesus Christ is saying, all this prophecy was done about the John the Baptist, and this is the man you went to see. And he said, this man is not ordinary man. Let's read this Luke chapter 7, verse 28.
For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he.
Now, when Jesus Christ said this, he is the great prophet. But at the same time, he said, if you take the prophet from the first prophet, you can say Enoch, unto the is the John the Baptist. And if you compare all those people, they were born by woman. And so he says, but the John the Baptist is the greatest man ever lived as a prophet. He was not the worldly man, he was godly man, and he was a great man. So he said, John the Baptist is greatest. But the same time, he said one more word, but he that is in the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he, means greater than the John the Baptist. Now, if you ask this question to somebody, people give you different kinds of answers. He said, could you tell me, if the John the Baptist is the greatest among all the prophets, but who is least in the kingdom of God, he is greater than the John the Baptist, who is that person? Right away people will say, Jesus. Jesus is not least in the kingdom of God. Jesus is the greatest. He is the greater than the John the Baptist anyhow. So he is not talking about, this verse is not talking about Jesus. This verse is talking about the born-again person, just like you and me. John the Baptist, as we read in the St. John chapter 3, you remember what he said? I am just the friend listening to voice of the bride and the bridegroom, and my joy is fulfilled. So John the Baptist, if he's a friend, and if there is a bride and bridegroom, who are we? We are the bride of Christ. So we are greater than the John the Baptist. But in short, even the man who died on the cross side by side to Jesus, and this man said to Jesus, Jesus, when you come in your kingdom, will you remember me, the thief? What Jesus Christ said? Today you will be with me in paradise. So what the Jesus Christ is saying, even that thief on the cross, he will be in the kingdom of God. he will be greater than the John the Baptist. And why is that? Because the John the Baptist comes in the Old Testament. He was washed with the blood of bulls and goats, but we are washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are greater than the John the Baptist. Okay, let's start reading from verse 29.
And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like?
Now here we see all these Sadducees and Pharisees are listening to Jesus Christ, and he starts saying, You saw the John the Baptist, the great prophet, and his message, and many sinners and many tax collectors, John baptized them, but he says, You Pharisees and lawyers, you rejected the counsel of God because you did not take water baptism. And so he says, You people are just like the generation. Now he's giving them example.
They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, Behold, a gluttonous man, and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners.
You people do not understand anything. If somebody is singing and dancing because there's a wedding, you don't understand there's a wedding. Some people are dead and somebody is crying and weeping. You do not understand anything. What he's trying to say, your mind is dull. You do not understand the truth. John the Baptist came and preached to you about the confessing your sins and repentance and water baptism. And you did not take the water baptism. And you start saying to John the Baptist, you don't eat right food, you don't drink the wine, and you are like you have a demon. And when I came, and I eat normal food, and I drink normal drink, and you are telling me that I am wine bibber and the friend of sinners and tax collectors. Now somebody takes these scriptures and say, Do you know Jesus Christ was drinking wine? And so he just quoted the words what the Pharisees and what other people are saying. If the Jesus Christ was not the sinner, then the Jesus Christ not also was wine drinker also. That's the point comes. But they label him, you drink wine and you are a sinner. So just like if the devil says something, do you believe what devil says? No. Why? But the devil is a liar. If the devil says something, that is a lie. So all these people are the agents of the devil, and whatever they say, we should not be believing. So Jesus Christ is saying, your mind is dull, you do not understand what you say. You know the story how the John the Baptist got killed. And I believe John was ready to give his life for the truth because he heard that Jesus Christ came and he is the real Son of God. So I believe John the Baptist made it. Book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 35.
But wisdom is justified of all her children.
Then he said, But the wisdom is justified of all her children. What he's trying to say, you do not have the wisdom to understand. You do not have the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, please read.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, but the fool despises the wisdom and the instructions. So he's trying to say, indirectly, you are fools. You don't have the wisdom. You don't understand what I was trying to say or what the John the Baptist is trying to say, you didn't understand anything. I read the book of Psalms, chapter 14, verses 1 to 3.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside, they are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
The fool says there is no God, and he says when God sees from heaven, there is no righteous man. And that's why Jesus Christ came into this world. We were sinners, without God, doing everything foolishly, not seeking for God, but God sent his Son. And because of Jesus Christ, now we are righteous. And because of Jesus Christ, our spiritual eyes open. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive all the wisdom, all the grace, and everything what God has. Because of Christ, we got the wisdom of God, we got the knowledge of God, we got the power of God, we got the redemption from God, and now we are godly people. And so Jesus Christ was saying, wisdom is justified of all her children. That means if you are a child of God, you will have wisdom of God, and you will understand the godly things. But he says, you do not understand the things of God because you are not having the wisdom of God. Now, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 36. Now, this is a different paragraph starts from.
And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat.
Jesus Christ is talking about Pharisees do not understand, do not have wisdom, do not understand the plan of God, did not take the water baptism, they did not justify God, and all of these things he talked in front of these people. And then one Pharisee trying to see if Jesus Christ can come to his house for dinner. So when you fight with somebody, you don't feel like going to their house to eat. But this Pharisees is inviting Jesus Christ, would you like to come to my house for dinner or lunch or whatever? And Jesus did not say, I'm not coming. He went with him, and we don't know what was the plan and what these Pharisees was thinking, but you will know from this paragraph. Pharisees have a desire that Jesus Christ should come and eat with him. And Jesus Christ went to Pharisee's house and he sat there to eat. And see what happened. Verse 37.
And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment.
Jesus Christ sitting at the table, Jesus did not see that lady, but the Pharisee saw that lady. Now, I was just thinking, if you invite somebody for a dinner or lunch, only invited people come to your house. How come this lady was not invited and she comes with a perfume, expensive perfume, and she comes with a back door or wherever she comes, but Jesus did not see the lady? Let's read further.
And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment.
Now here we see Jesus Christ is eating, or maybe starting to eat, because he said they sat at meat. And so this lady comes behind him, and pour the perfume, not on his head, but pour the perfume on his feet. That's why when we see there are a couple of examples in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, and John talks about one lady comes and breaks the very expensive perfume bottle and pours on Jesus' head. This story, Judas is not saying anything, no disciple saying anything about the costly perfume, but the Pharisee is talking here. So from that this story and the other story is not the same. Now, this story is in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And John's Gospel, chapter 12 story, is of the end of his ministry. That's why Jesus Christ says, "Leave her alone, she did it for my burial." But this story is different. This lady comes, pours the oil on his feet, opens her hair, and start wiping his feet, and start kissing his feet, and wiping his feet with her tears. Now, when this man is seeing all these things, and got offended. Now, I was thinking, why in the world this man allowed this lady to come in the first place? You invited Jesus Christ, and there might be somebody at the door. The only invited person should come. Uninvited person should be stopped right there. But they did not stop that lady. This lady is not ordinary lady. She is a sinner, means she is a prostitute, a bad person. And she might be well known. So all of a sudden, when she comes, this Pharisee was thinking, we want to see what Jesus Christ is going to do. And even though she came and she started wiping his feet with the tears and putting very costly perfume on his feet, Jesus didn't say anything. But this Pharisee started thinking something bad in his mind. Verse 39.
Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner."
Now this man is thinking in his mind. He doesn't have a courage to ask Jesus, "Why you are allowing this sinner to touch you?" He is thinking, "I invited this man as a prophet. Is he prophet, really? Because few minutes ago, John the Baptist sent some two people to ask him, are you the one or we should look for another?" And now the same thought coming to this man's heart, I invited this man as a prophet so he could come and bless my home, but I don't think this man is a prophet. So he started thinking all these things in his mind, did not have any courage to talk to Jesus Christ. But see what happened, what Jesus Christ said. Verse 40.
And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on."
Jesus Christ says, "Simon, I would like to say something." Verse 41.
There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he, to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged."
The more is forgiven, the more person will love. He said, "You said it right." So in short, what he's trying to say, now this man might be thinking, why Jesus Christ gave me this example? Because I was thinking something wrong in my heart. What he was thinking, she is a sinner. She's touching Jesus, and he doesn't say anything to her. And so Jesus Christ gave him an example. Then he understood, Jesus knows my heart. You don't have to tell Jesus anything about you. He knows everything about you. That's why Jesus Christ, we call him God. If he is not God, he cannot understand your things. This lady is much more sinner than you. You think you are righteous, you are a good man. He is not saying you are a bad person. You are better than her. She is a street woman. She is a sinner. But she found out somehow Jesus Christ is coming, and she was watching, and she followed him, and she came to him. Only one desire she had, to let Jesus know that I love you, Jesus. And some people say this is the same lady who anointed Jesus Christ in the last time, and that was the Mary, Martha's sister, and Lazarus' sister. That is not the same lady which we are seeing in Luke chapter 7. This lady in book of Luke chapter 7 is prostitute. She is a sinner. And Mary, Martha, and Lazarus never said that Mary was a bad person. And some people say this lady might be a Mary Magdalene, because the Mary Magdalene was not famous for the prostitute. She was famous for the seven demons were cast out. And so this is not the same lady. And Jesus Christ wants to clarify, you are inviting me, but you are not loving me the way this lady loved me. Let's read verse 44.
And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head.
But he says, you do not do anything what this lady has done. He says, this lady, since I came in, she start washing my feet with her tears and wiping my feet with her hair and anointing my feet. He did not give him water to wash his feet. He did not kiss him, or he did not give oil for his head. Verse 45.
Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment.
See, now here also Jesus recognized and said, this lady anointed my feet. So Jesus didn't say she anointed my head. He said she anointed my feet. This lady was not thinking, I'm even worthy to just anoint his head or kiss him on his cheek. She said, I'm not worthy. I'm just going to wash his feet, and I'm just going to clean his feet with my tears, and I'm just going to kiss his feet. So she was so humble. And see, he said, when I came to your house, you did not wash my feet. So that means his feet was still dirty. And that lady didn't care. He was not wearing shoes and socks like we do. They walk on dirty road and dusty road. So she has to wipe out everything and with her tears and clean his feet with her hair. So he is saying, see what this lady is doing. She is kissing my feet and she is anointing my feet, but you did not do what this lady was doing. Verse 47.
Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little.
The lady is more sinner, and her sins are forgiven, so she is loving me more. And you think that you do not have sin, so you loved me less. He says, when you're loving God, you love with your whole heart. I'm going to love the Lord no matter what other people say about me. I'm going to follow the Lord. That's what this lady was doing. She is not listening to anybody. She wants to serve the Lord. She wants to please Jesus Christ. And that's what she was doing. Let's go back to the Luke chapter 7, verse 48.
And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also?
Who gave him the authority to say, your sins are forgiven? Then Jesus Christ said to this man, pick up your bed and walk. And he walked, and those people didn't say anything. But he said, you should know the Son of Man has power to forgive the sins. Now, same thing happened here. Jesus Christ says, your sins are forgiven. And they start thinking, who is this person? Does he have a power to forgive sins? But Jesus Christ did not answer to these people anything, because he said it many, many times. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has power to forgive sins. He has power to raise people from the grave. And many signs and wonders Jesus Christ did. But we learn from this, Jesus Christ, sometimes he will tell the people right away, and sometimes he ignores. Now here he didn't say anything to those people, what they were saying. God has given us the wisdom. That's what the Word of God says. If you have the wisdom of God, you will know how to handle your situation. He's the one who gives us everything liberally. Let's read last words.
And he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace."
Now here in this chapter he says, or this verse he says, your faith has saved you. That means this lady, she came to Jesus by faith. She had a faith, if I go to Jesus, and if I even touch his feet, he will notice that I am a sinner, and I came by faith to Jesus Christ, so he can forgive my sins. That's why he says, your faith has saved you. And many times he said, your faith has healed you. So faith can save you, faith can heal you, and faith can deliver you from your problems. So what you need faith in God. When you have faith in God, problems will be there, but we can conquer all the problems by faith. How can you get it from the Lord? You have to have a sound mind and sound faith in God. Then you can get your things done. Now see, this lady came here to Jesus Christ, and all these Pharisees saying bad about her. She's a prostitute. She could get up and say, "Hey, why are you telling me these things? How do you know I'm a sinner? Did you see me commit any sin?" She did not argue. She just kept quiet, thinking, "I don't have to defend myself. Jesus Christ already forgiven her." Sometimes when you are not guilty and people trying to make you guilty, you get more angry. "Why are you saying this? I'm not even guilty of this." And they want to fight. Even though this lady was guilty or not guilty, she did not fight with anybody. She just kept on doing what she was doing, and she got blessed. We have to trust in God, love God, follow the Lord, no matter what person says about us. And we are going to learn, if the people say anything falsely, if they accuse us, we are not going to say anything, because our reward is great in heaven. Shall we rise? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are watching over us. Our God never sleeps. Our God never slumbers. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There are many people dying without God and without Christ. Give us grace not to argue and not to fight with them, but give them a good example that we are followers of Christ, because they don't know what they're doing. Lord Jesus, give us grace to win souls for Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.